بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، من يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى نبينا وقدوتنا وحبيبنا محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. As it relates, إخواني, to the topic that has been assigned to me, the importance of having the correct aqidah, there are a number of things that can be mentioned. The first of which is for the slave to understand you and I theoretically, and then to put that theory into practice. The importance of the correct aqidah is that we should know and understand that Allah Ta'ala has created us to have the correct aqidah as it relates to Him Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That's the reason why we're here right now. As He mentioned in His kitab, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِي مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. I have not created the jinn and the mankind except for the sole purpose of worshiping me. With the correct aqidah and the correct ibadah that Allah Ta'ala has legislated on the lisan of His Nabi and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not want from them that they should feed me or provide for me. Allah Ta'ala, He is Ar-Razzaq, and He is the one who is Al-Qawi, and He is Al-Mateen. So as it relates to the first issue, Ikhwani, we are in this dunya for the sole purpose of leaving it as people who worship Allah Ta'ala. Rasulullah told us about a authentic hadith Al-Qudsi. It's been collected by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad. And it is a hadith that we should consider. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah Ta'ala said, Inna anzalna al-mal li iqam al-salati wa ita'i al-zakat. Walau kan libni Adam wadin, la ahabbin yakun lahu wadin akhar. Walau kan lahu wadiyan, la ahabbin yakun lahuma thalith. وَلَا يَمْلَأُ جَوْفَ بْنِ آدَمْ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابِ. Verily Allah said, I send down the money that you have in your pocket and that you have saved up and that we covet and we try to accumulate. I send this money down for the sole purpose of establishing the salat and giving the zakat. The money has been given to you and it's been sent down for the establishment of a salat and a zakat. But Ibn Adam is the individual who, if he were given a valley, a wad of gold, if he was given a lot of money, he was given a valley of money, he would want a second one. That's his nature. That's his fitrah. If he was given two, he would want a third one, and on and on. And nothing is going to fill up his body except the dirt. So Allah will have forgiveness for the one who makes tawbah. So this hadith, along with the ayah, clearly illustrates that we have not been created to just live our lives like the cattle. We eat, we sleep, we make children, and that's it. We have been created for the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. In another hadith al-Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala told us, on the lisan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَا كُلَّهُمْ فَجَاءَتْهُمْ الشَّيَاطِينَ فَاجْتَالَتْهُمْ مِنْ دِينِ. I created all of my servants Hanif, with the natural disposition of having the correct aqidah of La ilaha illallah, with the natural disposition of believing in Allah and Allah alone. But then the shayateen came and took them off of their deen. The shayateen made the haram halal and the halal haram and contaminated the correct aqidah. The shayateen from their mothers and fathers, the shayateen from their environment, came and told them to say, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Ali al-Madad al-Madad. The shayateen came with that. As for the way that Allah Ta'ala has created the human being, He didn't create them to be the slaves of the dinar and the dirham, nor did He create them to worship anyone or anything else other than Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So that's the first thing, ikhwani, that we should sit here and reflect upon. That you have not been created to marry or to divorce, to make money or other than that. All of these things are wasail. They are means and ways to make the tahqiq of the correct aqidah and ibadah of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The second thing, as a result of this most important first thing, why we were created, because we were created for the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala and the correct aqidah in heaven, the way we look at Allah Azza wa Jalla and believe in Him, Allah Ta'ala just didn't leave us like that, just to worship Him and to have the iman in Him according to our desires. So what He did was, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He sent His anbiya and His rusul. Second thing, He sent the anbiya and the rusul with the clear teachings of this aqidah, as He mentioned in the Quran. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. We sent every Rasul to their people, and they all said, worship Allah and stay away from the Taghut. All of them without any exception, from the time of Nuh to the time of Isa ibn Maryam, salawatullahi wassalam alayhima. And then after them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with the same da'wah, that you should worship Allah alone and stay away from the Taghut. At Taghut, ikhwani, especially here in Luton, where we have the trial of the Muhajirun and the trial of Hizb ut-Tahrir, we hear this word, the Taghut, the Taghut, the Taghut. Yes, it is a word in the Quran and it's a concept we should understand. But in this ayat, in the context of this ayat, the Taghut is everything that is worshipped other than Allah. That's the meaning of a Taghut in this ayat. That the Anbiya came and told their people, worship Allah and stay away from the worshiping of the Taghut. Taghut doesn't necessarily just mean a hakim from the hukam of the Muslims or the kuffar, even though it can be. But in this ayat, it's talking about any and everything that is worshipped other than Allah, without any exception. Whether that thing is worshipping Allah, whether that thing is being worshipped and he wants to be worshipped, or he's being worshipped and he doesn't want to be worshipped, it is a taghut. And the way we know that is the statement of Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, after Ayat Al-Kursi, Ayat number 256. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْتَاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا. Whoever disbelieves in the taghut, whoever disbelieves in any and everything that's worshipped along with Allah, and he believes in Allah, then that individual has held on to the strongest handhold that never breaks. So the shahid from that, ikhwani, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent all of the anbiya to order the people to worship Allah alone and to stay in, to refrain from worshipping the tawaghit. As it relates to the taghut and what I mentioned, we shouldn't misunderstand. We know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is worshipped because many of the people, they make dua to Rasulullah. They make dua to Rasulullah and they make dua to Abdul Qadir al-Jailani. They make dua to the awliya of the qubur according to who they think are the awliya. They may be and they may not be. So are they considered to be from the tawaghit? By the definition of the word, any and everything that is worshipped along with Allah is a taghut, no matter who it is and no matter what it is. But Yawmul Qiyamah, those people from the creation who did not want to be worshipped along with Allah, from the Anbiya and the Malaika and the Salihin and the Awliya of Allah, they're going to free themselves from the ones who worship them. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَإِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ تُبِئُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ تَبَأُوا وَرَأُوا الْعَذَابُ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهُمُ الْأَسْبَابُ وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّؤُوا مِنَّا كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ when you see those who were followed, the anbiya and the malaika, they will worship and they will follow. You will see them freeing themselves from the ones who followed them. And then all of the means and the ways will be cut off from those people when they see the punishment. And they're going to say, oh, we wish we can go back to the dunya so that we will free ourselves from those people who free themselves from us that we used to worship. But at that time it will be too late and they won't be saved from the fire. So the second point, ikhwani, is all of the anbiya of Allah Ta'ala came with this dawah of the correct aqidah. None of them came asking the people or calling the people to believe in them, to have ghulu in them, or to worship other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. Point number three, as it relates to proving the importance of the correct aqidah in the religion of Al-Islam, is the simple fact, anyone who embraces and makes the tahqeeq of this correct aqidah, he's going to go into Jannah, no matter what he does in the dunya. Rasulullah told us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, من قال لا إله إلا الله نفعته يوم من دهره يصيبه من قبل ذلك ما أصابه. Whoever says La ilaha illallah is going to benefit him one day, sooner or later. Even if he goes into the hellfire, it's going to benefit him one day, despite whatever hit him prior to that. Meaning, if he's in this dunya and he fell into some of the kaba'ir, like murdering 100 people, committing zina, or other than that, if he says La ilaha illallah and he knows what he's saying, he believes in no one but Allah, then he will be under the mashi'ah of Allah. If Allah wants, he'll forgive him. If Allah wants, he'll punish him. Because of his La ilaha illallah, he will not remain in the hellfire if he goes there. And he may not have to go to the hellfire at all. مَنْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever dies and he doesn't make shirk with Allah, he's going to go into the Jannah. It may be that he goes to the hellfire. It may be that he doesn't go to the hellfire because of the ihsan of Allah Ta'ala and the fadl of Allah and the rahmah of Allah. But the point is, eventually he'll go to the hellfire. If he did all of the sins that you can possibly think of, other than kufr and shirk, and he combined all of those sins, she combined all of those sins, our relatives who smoke cannabis, smoke crack, do drugs, homosexuality, rape people, he did all of that. And he killed 100 people. If he died without making shirk with Allah Ta'ala anything, he's going to go to the paradise. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Tell them, Ya Muhammad, O my servants who have gone overboard and they made israf and their dhunub and their ma'asi, drowning in sins, don't give up from the hope of Allah. For verily Allah forgives all sins, every sin. So that ayah clearly established that Allah Ta'ala will forgive every sin, but He doesn't forgive a shirk and kufr. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala will not forgive that you make shirk with Him, but He'll forgive anything other than that. And whoever makes shirk with Allah, he has invented a tremendous lie, a tremendous slander, not even true. So from the importance of the correct aqidah, ikhwani, is if the Muslim man or the Muslim woman believes in Allah correctly, who he is, who he isn't, what he does, what he doesn't do, where he is and where he's not, he has the correct aqidah. At the top of the list, the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, then that individual will not stay in the hellfire if Allah sent him there. And from the rahmah of Allah, he may not even go to the hellfire. He may be excused. And the antithesis of that is understood. That the one who falls into shirk and kufr, then he'll go into the hellfire and he'll never come out. Allah's Rasul told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man mata wa huwa yushrik billahi dakhala an-nar. Whoever dies and he makes shirk with Allah, he'll go into the hellfire. Not only will he go into the hellfire, ikhwani, but the paradise has been made haram. It's been written with Allah. Khinzir is haram. Khamr is haram. Zina is haram. Riba is haram. At-tabarruj for our women is haram. It's been written that anyone who has shirk and kufr in his heart, he will not go to the Jannah, because the Jannah is haram. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا عَنْهَا لَا تُفَتِّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى يَلِجُ الْجَمَلُ فِي سَمِّ الْخِيَارِ وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Verily those people who disbelieve in our ayat and they are arrogant of having the correct aqidah. It's clear that Al-Islam is telling them to have the aqidah of La ilaha illallah. From the Muslims and the non-Muslims, we have those Muslims who have al-kibr. When you bring them the dalil that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not created from the nur of Allah, they have kibr. They reject it. When you bring them the dalil of the impermissibility of saying Ya Rasulullah, Ya Muhammad, Ya Ali al-Madad al-Madad, they become mutakabbirin. They don't want to embrace that. Allah mentioned in this ayat that the doors of the paradise, they will not be open for them. And they will never enter into the paradise until the camel can go through the eye of a needle. And this is how we deal with the criminals, the people of shirk. So one of us, not to mention the camel, if I had the needle and I tried to put the needle, your head through the needle is not going to fit. That is the balaga or the eloquence of the Quran to show it is impossible for the one who makes shirk with Allah to enter to the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحِ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارِ. Verily those individuals who say that Allah is Al-Masih Ibn Maryam, they have disbelieved. And the Masih Isa Ibn Maryam, he said, O Bani Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Verily the one who makes shirk with Allah, Allah has made haram for him the paradise. And the oppressors, the people of shirk, the zalimeen, they will have no helper along with Allah or beside Allah Ta'ala. So those are three or four reasons that show the importance of the correct aqidah in al-Islam. In addition to that, ikhwani, the anbiya of Allah Ta'ala and the malaika, like you saw in this ayah with Isa ibn Maryam, they didn't have a problem with being muwahideen. They didn't have a problem themselves with making the inqiyad or submitting to this correct aqidah. They didn't want the people to raise them up and they didn't want the people to worship them. They had no problem with that. Allah Ta'ala took a covenant out with all of those anbiya and the rusul. وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. It has been revealed to you, Ya Muhammad, and to all of your brothers from the anbiya and the rusul, if any of you make shirk with Allah, is going to render your deeds null and void, and you'll be from the losers. That's with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the khatim of the anbiya and the rusul. He is the habib of Allah azza wa jal. He is the khalil of Allah. He is the best of the creation. Despite that, Allah Ta'ala took this covenant out and made this threat, along with many other threats in the Quran, telling him, if you or anyone else from your brothers from the anbiya, if you make shirk, it's going to render your deeds null and void and you're going to be of the losers. So what do you think is the case with people like you and myself, who do not compare with the anbiya as it relates to our station, who do not compare with the anbiya as it relates to their position with Allah? If you fall into shirk and kufr, you are in trouble. So, from the benefits of having the correct aqidah is that you will be on the way, the sunnah and the path and the minhaj of the Anbiya and the Rusul, who had no problem with establishing the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفِ الْمَسِيحِ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدٍ لِلَّهِ وَلَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ وَمَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفْ عَنْ إِبَادَتِهِ وَيَسْتَكْبِرْ فَسَيَحْشُرُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ جَمِيعًا. The Masih, Isa ibn Maryam, and those who are close to Allah from the Malaika, they do not have a problem with worshipping Allah and establishing this Tawheed and this Aqidah. And whoever has a problem with it, and they're arrogant, Allah is going to gather them all together, Yawmul Qiyamah, and He's going to deal with them. So from the importance of it, Ikhwani, is it puts us on the Sunnah and the Minhaj of the best of Adam's children, Salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhim ajma'in. In addition to that, the hadith that's inside al-Bukhari, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu came for no apparent reason to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him an intelligent question. He's from the big students of knowledge as it relates to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, man as'adu nas bi shafa'atik yawm al-qiyamah. Who from amongst us will have the most right that you intercede on his behalf yawm al-qiyamah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have a shifa'ah, the ability to have shifa'ah, different types of shifa'ah. He'll be able to intercede for the ashabul kaba'ir from our ummah, the hukam who judge by other than what Allah revealed. But they didn't make istihlal of that. Us, the people who have fallen into crimes, dhanub and ma'asi from the kaba'ir. People from the kaba'ir, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make shifa'ah for them. People who are in the hellfire, getting burnt and punished, Rasulullah will make shafa for them and get them out. People who, they deserve to go into the hellfire, but Rasulullah will intercede on their behalf and they won't go into the hellfire. So he has different abilities and different types of shafa. Even for his uncle Abu Talib, he had the ability to give him shafa. Not the shafa to be exempt from the hellfire, because Abu Talib was a mushrik and a kafir. As a result of that, he'll never go into the Jannah until the camel can pass through the eye of the needle. Rasulullah's mother and father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her name is Amina, his name is Abdullah. They died on kufr and shirk after the message came to them. And they changed the message of the tawheed that Ibrahim and Ismail were upon. As a result of that, even though they are the relatives of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they do not go to the paradise because it's haram. No matter who you are. So from the shafa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an issue that we all of us are in need of it. But how do you expect to receive the shafa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when you ridicule his sunnah? Something comes to one of us like an issue of al-Islam that is from the wajibat, like leaving the beard. And the person says, it's only the sunnah. He doesn't call to it, he doesn't try to practice it, he doesn't love his people, but he wants the shafa'ah. Look at the Muslims today, Ikhwani. The kuffar drew the caricatures and the cartoons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And rightly so, the Muslims stood up and protested. Not protesting, marching like that, but we let the kuffar know, don't do this with our Nabi, even though you do it with your NBA and with your books. Don't do that with our Nabi. But look at the Muslims when they demonstrated. The people who demonstrated were people who didn't wear hijab. The people who demonstrated were the people who don't pray. Some of the people who demonstrated were the people who make along with Allah and dad partners other than Allah. Ya Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah is from the Nur of Allah, asking him for things that he doesn't have the ability to give. How are you going to get the shafa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you're not from the people doing the things that will cause you to deserve the shafa? From them is to simply respect his sunnah. When Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah this question sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, Ya Abu Huraira, I didn't think anyone would precede you as it relates to asking this question. And that's because of how I see you being a serious student of knowledge. Abu Huraira is always with him, at the expense of his dunya, at the expense of filling his belly.
He was with Rasulullah to get the knowledge, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu ta'ala an Abi Hurairah. He said, I didn't think anyone would precede you. And then he proceeded to tell him, أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِشَفَاءَةِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ خَالِصٌ مِّنْ قَلْبِهِ. The one who has the most right to receive my shafa'a yawm al-qiyamah is the one who says, La ilaha illallah, with ikhlas, with the conditions of La ilaha illallah. And from those conditions is the condition of al-ikhlas. So having the correct aqidah, ikhwani, will empower you and position you to be an individual who you'll have the right to receive the shafa'a of Rasulullah salawatullahi wassalamuhu alayhi. In addition to that, ikhwani, as it relates to the shafa'a, all of those affairs that are connected to yawm al-akhir, drinking from the fountain of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, having the ability to drink from his fountain, the people are going to be thirsty and they're going to want to drink. There will be people from this ummah who will go to his fountain and they will try to drink. The malaika will come and knock them off of the fountain. Why? Because they defend the sunnah. And they defend the symbol of the sunnah. And they're not afraid of it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They don't care what Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab said. Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab said, if you go to Jummah, something's wrong with you. If you pray at the job, something's wrong with you. If you leave your beer, something's wrong with you. They don't care about that. So they want to protect the purity of the sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has rahmah. وَمَا رُسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He has rahmah for this ummah. Anything that happens to us, it makes him sad. He'll come to the defense of those people. The malaika will tell him, يَا مُحَمَّدْ إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا أَحْدَثُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. So he'll say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سُحْقًا سُحْقًا. يَا مُحَمَّدْ, you do not know what these people innovated in your religion after you die. So Rasulullah would say, get them away, get them away. Get them away from our fountain. They do not have the right to drink from the fountain because they were from the Ashab al-Ahwa al-Mubtadiyah. So they jammed themselves up. There's a point, ikhwani, I want to draw your attention to. إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا أَحْدَثُ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Ya Muhammad, you don't know what they invented after you. If Rasulullah was Hadir Nazir, Muslims believe in Luton, in Birmingham. Go to the masajid of the Muslims. And there's a chair next to the minbar in the masjid. They believe when the imam says, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi yawm al-jum'ah, Rasulullah comes and he sits in the chair. He sits in this chair in Birmingham, in London. So he's Hadir Nazir. He's everywhere, omnipotent. He is everything, sees everything. The malaika told him, you don't know what they invented in your deen after you. If he knew everything, he knew the ghaib, he knew everything, he wouldn't have asked, why are you knocking them away? Ashabi, ashabi. He would have already known, but he doesn't know everything. He only knows what Allah Azza wa Jal gives to him in terms of information from the wahi. So he'll say, get him away, get him away. Suhkan, suhkan. Fa'tarafu. Those people will acknowledge their crime, their dhun. So the correct aqidah, ikhwani, all of those issues connected to what's going to happen yawm al-qiyamah. As it relates to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's religion, the mizan, everything, you being put in the mizan, your a'mal in the mizan, the heaviest thing in the mizan yawm al-qiyamah is the correct aqidah. Ma min shay'in asqaru fil mizan yawm al-qiyamah min al-khuluq al-hasan. There's nothing that will be heavier in the mizan yawm al-qiyamah than the good character. And from all of the characteristics that you can have that are good, you're kareem, you're sharif, you have sabr, you have bravery. The best characteristic is to be a muwahid, to be a person of a tawheed. It's the benefit of being brave. And you're fighting with that bravery and you believe in a tamima. It's the benefit of giving karam, feeding people, and you slaughter and you spend money for the khatam, the last Thursday of every month, the arwah, the souls of our deceased relatives come down and eat the curry with us? The benefit of that kind of aqidah. What is the benefit of that? مَا كَانَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ يَعْمُرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ شَاهِدِينَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ أُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ وَفِي النَّارِ هُمْ خَالِدُونَ. It's not acceptable or benefiting. Not, doesn't benefit for the mushrikeen to take care of the Masjid al-Haram while they are bearing witness on themselves with kufr. Because of their kufr, their deeds have been rendered null and void, and they'll be in the hellfire forever. So look at the kuffar. They took care of the duyuf of Allah in Mecca. They fed them, gave them to drink, transported them, the duyuf of Allah. But when they were mushrikun and kufr, after Islam came, it rendered their deeds null and void. You send your mother to Hajj every year, but you do it so that people can say, he sends his mother to Hajj. You give money so that people can say, he's giving money. What's the benefit of it? So no matter what you do, if you do it for other than Allah Azza wa Jal, it's going to be null and void. So Yawmul Qiyamah, Ikhwani, the benefits of having the correct aqidah, connected to all of the issues of Yawmul Qiyamah, getting over the sirat, everything, being in the qabr. Man Rabbuka, Ma Deenuka. Having the correct aqidah will open up the door for you and it will free you. In addition to that, Ikhwani, from the benefits of having the correct aqidah and its importance is what the world is dealing with right now. The fitna of what the dunya is dealing with right now. The loss of security. The loss of security. With all of the weaponry that they have, with all of the technology that they have, as long as Bani Adam falls into shirk and kufr, he will never have security. And the one who has the proper aqidah, he'll be secure even if he's weak. Even if he doesn't have anything. So our ummah, we're weak with the wrong aqidah. فَأَحْلَاهُ مَمُرْ. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ بِالظُّلْمِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَوْ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمَ الْأَمِنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those people who believe, they believe correctly. And they do not mix their faith with zulm. They are the ones who will get the security, and they are the ones who are rightly guided. The zulm in this ayat is talking about الشِّرْكُ بِاللَّهِ. The companions came and said, Ya Rasulullah, which one of us doesn't mix his Islam, his Iman with zulm? We all making mistakes. Rasulullah said, that's not the zulm of the ayat. The oppression of the ayat is talking about what? The righteous slave, the righteous servant, who's not a Nabi, he's not a Rasul, Luqman. Radiallahu anhu, wa rahimahullahu ta'ala. Didn't you hear what he said? وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانَ لِبْنِهِ وَهُ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. And remember when Luqman said to his son, while he was giving him a lesson, a mu'idha, taking the time out to teach his son and his family the correct aqidah. Ask the son of the Muslim, hey little boy, who do you want to be like? Who do you want to be like in the future? He'll say, Ronaldo. Thierry Henry. Because his father, that's what he allowed him to be exposed to. Didn't take the time out to teach him. Some of you brothers here are a witness to that. Parents grew you up as mushrikeen. Rasulullah is from the nur of Allah. He knows everything. He doesn't have a shadow. Ghulu. The peer. Whatever he says, just take it. It's wahyu min as-sama. Abu Hanifa. Whatever he says is the haq. He must have known. He knows everything. He's the Imam al-A'zam. Over Rasulullah even, because his position may go against the sunnah, and we'll say, Abu Hanifa must have known. So as it relates to the issue, Ikhwani, of the correct aqidah in the religion of al-Islam, we can't speak enough about its importance. Knowing who Allah is, knowing who Allah isn't, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, where Allah azza wa jal isn't. So as it relates to this zulm, Luqman taught his son, O my son, Do not make shirk with Allah. Verily, shirk is a great oppression. Pay attention, Ikhwan. Oppression, zulm, is the opposite of hikmah in al-Islam. Learn that if you don't learn anything else. Al-hikmah, as the scholars have given us the definition. Yes, it's wisdom. It's also the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But fundamentally speaking, al-hikmah is wad'u shayfi mahallihi. Putting everything in its proper place. Allah is al-hakim. He knows who to guide and who not to guide. He knows who to make rich and who to make poor. So don't sit there and say, woe is me, woe is me. Why did Allah do this to me? Why am I still unmarried? Why am I poor? Why did I lose my mother? Why did I get divorced? Allah is al-hakim. He puts everything in its proper place. A man will not be hakim until he can do that. He knows what to say, when to say it, how to say it. He treats the Muslim as the Muslim. The kafir as the kafir. If he treats the Muslim as a kafir and the kafir as a Muslim, he's not hakim. She's not hakima. If he treats his mother like a child and the child like the mother, he's not hakim. He treats his, the one who shares his blood brother, sister, auntie, he treats that individual as an enemy. He's not hakim. He didn't put the things in the proper place. Allah puts everything in the proper place. So al-hikmah is putting everything in the proper place, and al-zulm is putting things in the wrong place. And the greatest zulm in the dunya is to put your ibadah along with other than Allah. To give someone else your ibadah. So that's what Luqman told his son, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So as it relates to the issue of shirk, I want to say to you guys, in Luqman teaching his child, there's something I want to bring all of your attention to that I feel many times we neglect and we don't take it that seriously. And that is, when one of us dies, we're going to have our janazah, inshallah. Many of our relatives are Brewis and Deobandis, Shi'i, and other than that. And because you know the correct aqidah, you know, alhamdulillah, you are muwahid. But for some reason, we don't find that there's a need that you have to go and teach your aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, the correct aqidah. And to make jihad in that effort. Many people say, my aqidah is right. I'm Salafi, Ahlul Hadith, Ahlul Sunnah. But my mother's a Brawi, and I just leave her. As if he's saying, lakum deenukum waliya deen. You have to make jihad to connect with your parents and to give them dawah ilallah to this aqidah. Because on the day of your janazah, the people who are going to come for sure, inshallah, are your relatives. I may not come. I'm in Birmingham. I don't know you. If I know you, I may come. If I don't know you, I'm not going to come more than likely. So what's going to happen when you have your relatives there, and behind you, your Uncle Ahmed has a tamima. Your Uncle Abdullah, he has some other hocus pocus potion from Sheikh Umar. You know Sheikh Umar? Sheikh Umar is the one who sends those little cards and he puts them in the door. You have financial problems, call Sheikh Umar. You have marital problems, call Sheikh Umar. You want to do this, call Sheikh Umar. Examinations, call Sheikh Umar. His name should be Sheikh Umar. And you shouldn't believe in him. What are you going to do at your janazah? And they're the ones in the safuf. Rasulullah told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مَاتَ مُسْلِمٌ فَيَقُومُ عَلَى جَنَازَتِهِ أَرْبَعُونَ رَجُلًا لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا إِلَّا شُفِّعُوا فِيهِ. No Muslim dies. And then over his janazah stands 40 men who don't make shirk with Allah, except that they will have shafa'ah for that man. So how are you going to afford, or think you can afford, not to connect to your relatives who are going to come to your janazah? Al-muhim, ikhwani, al-shahid, min al-kalam. The people of a tawheed, they will get the protection from Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ الْأَمَنْ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. They are the people of security, and they will be guided. They are the ones who are guided aright. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be sitting in the masjid, and a visitor will come to Al-Medina, and he can't recognize Rasulullah, because he doesn't have around him a lot of guard. He's safe and secure. Umar radiallahu anhu can leave from Al-Medina and ride with his khadim to Bayt al-Maqdis to take the key of Bayt al-Maqdis, and it's just him and his khadim. Because he has the security of Allah due to his tawheed and his correct aqidah. He knows no one can help, hurt, no one can harm me except Allah. He knows that. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's his aqidah. They can't put magic on you. It's his aqidah. But when he doesn't have the right aqidah, everything makes him afraid. Everything. She's home alone. She hears something at the door. It's nothing but a branch hitting the window. She's afraid. It's a burglar. It's the jinn. It's the ghost. It's the boogeyman. That's how we are. And the imagination runs away with the person. Al-Amin. Al-Amin. Ibrahim, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, in the Qur'an, ikhwani, in many ayat of the Qur'an, used to make those dua, Rabbi, اجعل هذا بلدا آمنا وارزق أهله من الثمرات من آمن منهم بالله واليوم الآخر. Ibrahim made the dua, oh my Lord, make this city of Mecca, البلد الأمين, وهذا البلد الأمين. Make this city a city of security. Amen. And provide them with the things that they need in the dunya, those who believe in Allah and the last day. So he made dua for al-amin before he made dua for the rizq. Without the amin, you're not going to enjoy life. Ask our brothers in al-Iraq. Ask our brothers in Kashmir. Ask our brothers in Somalia right now. Without any amin, you're not going to enjoy the life. So he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, من أصبح منكم آمنا في سربه معافا في جسده وعنده قوت يومه فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا بحذافيرها. Whoever from amongst you woke up in the morning, today, and you have safety and security where you're living, our brothers in Palestine, and we're disconnected from them. Don't get it twisted and don't make the mistake, ikhwani, of having so much hatred for people who make takfir of everyone and they go overboard in these issues. Wallahi, some of our brothers who hate the Yahud the way they hate them, it is in the right place for the zulm that they exact upon the Muslims. Just in Palestine. But we're not connected. We're not connected. At any moment, they can go and bulldoze someone's house with the people inside. They don't have an amen. Whoever from amongst you wakes up in the morning and he's safe and secure, your family is at home right now watching TV, Islam channel, inshallah. You're not concerned about the burglar, and you're definitely not concerned about the Yahud breaking in, shooting your daughter or your son. So whoever wakes up with that, and he also wakes up and he has good health. He's not suffering from cancer. He's not suffering from some terminal disease. He has good health. And he has enough to eat for that day. Not his cupboards are full and his refrigerator is full. He has enough to eat for that day. Then it is as if he has been given all of the dunya with its rain. So al-amin, al-amin, al-amin. The Ummah of Al-Islam, we've lost Al-Amin. Wherever you go, the people don't have Amin. And the main reason, we've disconnected ourselves from the correct Aqidah in Al-Islam. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Qur'an, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْرِهِمْ وَلِيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلِيُبَدِّلَنَّ لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Allah has promised those people who believe from amongst you and they do the righteous deeds. He promised them that He subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the khilaf in the earth, the correct aqidah and the righteous deeds, salat and zakat, sawm and other than that. And He also has promised them that He, tabarakah wa ta'ala, will establish the religion that He's pleased for them. Al-Islam. He'll establish their deen. And He will also
change their condition of fear into a condition of amen, security. They believe in me, they worship me, and they don't make shirk with me, with anything else. But we don't have that amen. Because the aqidah of the Muslims is jammed up. The dual Islamia go to the Islamic states, the vast majority of them. Look at, look what they believe. Look what they've written in their dastur of what they believe. That's even if they mention something about Islam. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرِيَةً كَانَتْ مُطْمَئِنَّةً كَانَتْ قَرِيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنًا مُطْمَئِنَّةً يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. Allah gives you a similar tool of a city, how the people used to be. It was a city that had iman. Amen. Had iman, it was safe, and it was very comfortable with al-itmi'nan. They were just taking it easy. But they disbelieved in the ni'mah of Allah. And the first ni'mah is that He created them as a ni'mah to worship Him. They disbelieved. They made kufr of it. They rejected it and denied it. So as a result of that, Allah caused them to taste the libas of hunger and fear because of what they used to do. These people are in a state of fear. And when I make this point, that doesn't mean that I'm calling anyone to go and to do some crazy action, sabotage the security. Al-Islam came to establish security in the earth. Whether you're living in a Muslim country or a non-Muslim country, Islam came to establish security in your home. Because the Muslims fighting in the Muslim world. Some of the fights that are taking place. And they are claiming, we want Islam, we want Islam. But the people who get caught in the middle, in the mix, are just the regular Muslims who all they want is amen. But the people are fighting for money and karate. That's it. So al-amen will be a result of having the correct aqidah. The last thing I want to mention, ikhwani, and Allah can be mentioned concerning the benefit of having the correct aqidah. And I hope that this is just not a talk, just inspire you type of talk. It is imperative that we become a group of people who love the tawheed of al-Islam, and we love for others to come to know about this tawheed. Starting with our closest relatives, teaching them this religion. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, من أراد أن يعلم وصية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فليقرأ إن شاء قول الله تعالى قل تعالوا أتلوا ما حرم عليكم ربكم ألا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا. Anyone wants to know what the advice, the wasiyah of Rasulullah was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your wasiyah is, when you're about to die, you know that you're going to die, you tell your wife, take care of my children. Settle my debts. Make sure fulan and fulana, they know that I've forgiven them. You want people to take care of your affairs. That's the wasiyah. You say it before you're going to check out. Anyone wants to know the wasiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then read the statement of Allah if he wants to read it, where Allah said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, ya Muhammad, come, you kuffar, mushrikun, and other than you, come. You want to know what my law made haram? My law made haram that you should make any worship, that you should worship anything along with him, and that you should be good to your mother and your father. And then the subsequent issues that are mentioned in that particular ayat. Killing people unjustly, making zina, and other than that. But the very first two mentioned, from the wasiyah of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you don't make shirk with Allah. And from the shirk of Allah ta'ala, ikhwani, is something that we fall into, even the people of the Tawheed. Mahmud ibn Labid, radiyallahu anhu, he said that he heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ على أمتي الشرك الأصغر قيل وما الشرك الأصغر يا رسول الله قال الرياء. The thing that I fear most for you people is the small minor shirk. They said, what is the small minor shirk, Ya Rasulullah? He said, it is showing off. You know Tawheed al-Rububiyah, Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat, Tawheed al-Uluhiyah. You know that, alhamdulillah. But you fall into shirk al-Asghar, al-Shirk al-Asghar. Doing things for the people to see and say about you. Look at Fulan, he has knowledge. Someone wants to read the Quran. How many people are saved from this and how many people fall into it? He's not the ordinary imam. But when it's time to read the Quran for a group of people in the salat, in his home, they gathered up, they went out to the park, whatever it's time for salat, he's going to be the imam, and he beautifies his recitation to please the people. He does things so that it will be said about him. Look at the application. Look at the application. Following and holding on to our adat and taqaleed. Look at the level that the Muslims hold on to their culture. There are Muslims who mutilate the private part of their daughters. Mutilation. It's going to be azab on her and her husband when they get married. But why do they do it? Because the other women are going to get upset if we don't do it. What are the other women going to think? The people marry their daughters to their nephews who they know are criminals. Because they're afraid what other people are going to say if it doesn't happen. And if the daughter refuses, based upon the deen, then that her brother or her sister who's married to the brother of the one who they want to, they're going to blackmail her and say, we're going to divorce your brother or divorce your sister. Inshallah. Because what the people think. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُوا مَا أَلْفَيْنَ عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. When it is said to them, follow what Allah has revealed. They said, no, we prefer to follow what we found our fathers doing. Even though their fathers don't know anything, literally, they can't read and write. They don't know the deen, and they don't know the dunya. They can't read and write, nor are they guided. So beware of ash-shirk al-asghar and ash-shirk in all of its manifestations. The man came and he said, Masha Allah wa shitta ya Rasulullah. He saw something and he's like, Ya Allah, Rasulullah, Masha Allah, it is as Allah wanted and it's as what you wanted. Rasulullah took his finger, pointed in the man's chest and hit him. And he said to that man, Ja'altani lillahi nidda, qul masha Allah wahdu. You made me a partner with Allah? Say Masha Allah alone. So you can say a statement that is contrary to the correct aqidah. Those companions, they embraced Islam new. The rain came down. Some of them said it rained because of this star and that star. So Allah said, some of my slaves woke up today as believers in me, disbelievers in stars. Some woke up today as disbelievers in me, believers in stars. As for the one who said, it rained because of this star and that star, he believes in the planet. The one who said, it rained because of Allah, he believed in me. They made a statement from the lisan, contradictory to the deen and the correct aqidah. The companion, even though they were juduk in al-Islam. They were traveling, they saw the people. Ya Rasulullah, ij'al lana dhatul anwad. Kama lahum dhatul anwad. Ya Rasulullah, make us a tree, the way they have a tree. And their saws are getting strength and power from the tree. Make us one. He said, "You may Allah have mercy upon my brother Musa." You people saying the same thing that they did. Companions said that. So we have to stay away from those statements that come on the lisan that are also contrary to the correct aqidah. What's contrary to the correct aqidah is you for the World Cup as a Muslim waving the British flag with a cross on it. It's haram. It's haram. It's haram. Aisha said, Rasulullah, anytime he saw something in the shape of a cross in his home, he broke it. And you know, anything that was in the shape of a cross in his home, it was there accidentally. No one's going to bring a cross in his house. Accidentally, he would break it. Change it. Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i radiallahu anhu, when he became a Muslim, he used to be a Christian, he came to Rasulullah with a cross on his neck. Rasulullah told him, "Ilqi an nafsik, sanam al-jahiliyah." Take off of yourself the idol of jahiliyah.
Isa ibn Maryam is going to come back, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. He's going to get married. He's going to raise up the jizya. Nothing's going to be accepted from the Nasara and the Yahud other than Islam. He'll reject the jizya. He'll kill the swine and he'll break the cross. So the Muslim, he goes to the church and he makes for them a cross. He fixes their light. He sells a Christmas tree. All of that is against the correct aqidah. Mixing with these kuffar and working with them, and you're just shooting the breeze, and you say, Jesus Christ. Instead of saying, Subhanallah, Jesus Christ. نكتفي بهذا القدر سائلين الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يثبتنا جميع قلوبنا وأقدامنا على العقيدة الصحيحة وعلى الكتاب والسنة هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله